back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, we'll try to get to them in the closing stages of today's program, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, friend of the program, always a pleasure to bring on the Speaker of the Alabama House of Representatives, Nathaniel Ledbetter. Speaker, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Good morning to you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Hey, Merry Christmas, and thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. You slowed down on the travel circuit a little. It seemed all fall. I mean, you were down here a couple of times, been around the state. I've seen your social media. Well, let's give us an update there.
Yeah, it's been busy. We've had a busy fall for sure, traveling from one end of the state to the other, and being chairing over the SLC now. We've been in some of those meetings trying to get set up to bring it to Birmingham, Alabama. We're excited about that. I think it's good to have, we'll have 15 southern states from across our region and bringing them into the city of Birmingham. And we want to show them, one of the things we want to show is the progress Alabama's made, and that Alabama's a new Alabama with the growth we've had in the economy and things that's going on in a positive note. So we look forward to doing that and had opportunity to visit some of the national meetings and express that, we'd love to have them come to Alabama. So it has been busy. I think this fall is probably busier than last one. I kind of thought it might slow down some, but it hadn't been. But after this week, we're going to take a couple of days off for Christmas.
Let's talk about what's going on, State House kind of all season. And I ask you this every time, but it's getting a little buzz. Yeah, I mean, yeah, leadership change in the Senate. Do you think we're going to get another shot at gambling in 2025?
Well, it won't come out of the House. I mean, I think, we looked at it and tried to get the best legislation we could, and there's no way that you can ever get a perfect piece of legislation. But I don't know what the Senate has in mind, and hadn't really had a chance to sit down and talk to the new pro tem or pro tem elect, I should say. And we'll have a chance to do that here in the next few days and kind of see what his agenda is going to be and what's on his mind. But I I think that ship may have sailed. I don't know exactly what he is going to go on with new leadership, but we'll see.
Well, this is just Jeff Poor speculating here, but I mean, you needed to switch one vote in the Senate. And if you look at the Senate with Greg Reed leaving and potential Matt Woods, it was a no vote in the House. I mean, it puts you at a little bit harder climb there. But old habits die hard. Speaker, the fourth year of a quadrennium is, I think, would be certainly a no go. And then I don't know what the future has in store for 2026 and beyond. If you get a new governor, would you have a governor that's even, with all these unknowns, if it were to happen, it seems like it would have to happen early in this session. Otherwise, you're right. The ship may really have sailed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think, looking at it, people are really hammering for a right to vote. I mean, I think if you get a good bill out there, people are smart enough to decide if they want to do it or not. It's a constitutional amendment requiring the vote of the people, I think they're smart enough to decide whether it's right or wrong. So, but we'll see. I mean, like I said, the House did a lot of work on it last year in connection with a couple of the members of the Senate, and it just wasn't meant to be. So, we got other things we need to look at and be doing, and that's what we're going to focus on.
Speaking of other things, let's talk about this. We had Leader Daniels on earlier this week. We had Senator Orr last week. This extension of the this whole discussion about the overtime tax, I guess first off, that it, this overtime tax exemption you guys passed, one of the first bills you passed as Speaker in 23, costing way more or not really hitting the mark on the projections here. What do you make of that? What do you think the future holds in store there?
Well, I think, when we looked at the bill and got the numbers back, it was projected that it was some $40 million. And today, I think it's over $230 million. So, it's very unusual for our our team in the state house, it does our budgeting to miss the mark that much. I think there's some unknowns that they didn't calculate. So going forward is something we got to really look at. I think there's a lot of options out there that we can kind of think about doing. And you know, it sunsets in June. It always has. That was in the bill that had Daniels passed. He agreed to let it sunset in June. But I think we got to, if we give the tax break to the people, which I do think we need to continue to do what we've been doing, and we've done a lot of tax cuts in the last few years, but we got to do it fiscally responsible. So I think we'll come to a conclusion trying to do something that's fiscally responsible and continue to give tax breaks to the people of Alabama. I mean, the proof's in the pudding of what we've done over the past few years, and we'll continue to do that. You know, we've given the largest tax cut in Alabama history with a grocery tax cut. We give rebates. We cut the some of the business taxes. You know, retirees didn't pay the percentage of Alabama tax anymore. So we continue to try to find ways to give relief to the citizens, and we'll continue to do that. I mean, I supported the bill. You know, I thought it was a good deal. I mean, but the numbers just didn't add up. They didn't come back the way we expected. Certainly was excited to be able to get it on the floor and get it passed. I think it helps working Alabamians. So we'll figure out a way to continue to help them.
The next penny on the grocery tax, does that look like within grasp, or is that wishful thinking?
No, Jeff, I think that's one of the things that'll be on the table. You know, I talked with Chairman Garrett about that last week. You know, I've had several discussions about it. And I think, you know, if you look at it, we could take that off, and it would actually be, the number would be smaller than what the overtime tax would be. So I think it's certainly on the table. And, you know, some things we got to be mindful of. The growth of the economy in Alabama has been strong. That's certainly created part of this. But also, we've had a flush of federal money that we won't have again. So that money won't be coming back. And everybody, you know, we've got money put back. I know that's been a conversation too, and certainly we're fortunate to be there. I sort of applaud the budget chairs, both in the House and the Senate, for the work they've done and the job they're doing, being able to do that. But there's going to come a day where we're going to need it. And so I think we've got to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money and make sure that we put it in a positive way. I mean, you think about the grocery tax, you look at it, it affects every Alabamian. And that's something that's positive. It doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're a single mom, or it affects you. So certainly I think it's something that's on the table and needs to be discussed. So we'll continue to have those discussions going forward.
Well, you mentioned this federal money, and it's starting to lapse, a lot of it going away. We've become accustomed to these budget surpluses. We've grown accustomed to like y'all dedicated whole special sessions to just dealing with the influx of federal money into state coffers. With that going away, do you expect the budget? I mean, do you expect any belt tightening? Because we haven't, like you said, we haven't had that in the state. The economy's been good, and when the economy was bad, you had all the federal money. Well, now things, you know, depending on how, you know, this early stages of the Trump presidency goes, and you know, everything that he inherits. I mean, what do you anticipate ETF and general fund discussions being like these 2 years remaining in the quadrennium?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's an important question that people need to know. You know, one of the things of the growth of the general fund has come off the interest that we've made off the ETF money. And people don't talk about that, but that's been a tremendous amount of money that's put back into the general fund that's going away. And a lot of it, just as you seen yesterday, when you reduced the interest rates, you know, when that goes down, and now, you know, we're looking at probably by the end of the year, I mean, we already had 0.75%, so it may be 100 points by the time the end of the year. And if you look at that, that's money that we won't be getting off that interest. So that does affect the general fund. And so we got to be mindful of that. And just because we have a surplus of money, it didn't just happen. I mean, it's because we had mindful people that being conservative, thinking about what we need to do for the future of the state, and I think they need to be applauded for that, and the body does too, because they supported it. So yeah, I think we'll see some times where it flattens out, but some of our numbers will start maybe not as much of a you know, decrease, but maybe just flatten it out. That's kind of what I expect and what we've been seeing some of. But certainly, the Fed's lowering interest rates affects the revenue that we've been collecting for the general fund.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch. We're joined by House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Another state issue here, and we haven't heard a lot about it till just a couple of days ago when this IVF lawsuit, and I guess the plaintiffs have dropped their case. They must have reached a settlement or something with the clinic down here in Mobile. But there's like an immunity right now in place for these clinics to operate, and once it lapses, that there was going to be something. I mean, what's the game plan going forward on the IVF stuff?
Well, we certainly are in discussion about it, and we've had a group that has worked on some issues around it. I think right now, I talked to Senator Reid. Of course, I know the leadership's changed in the Senate, but there was some interest of waiting and see what the federal government does. I know Trump has really touted that as being a strong issue of his, and so that could have a direct impact on Alabama if the federal government does something. So I think from our standpoint, it's working now. I mean, we have got families in the state that's been able to have children because of it and you know, grow in their family. So I think it's important to kind of see what happens on the federal level and monitor it, and certainly appreciate the members that is looking into all the issues that comes with it. So we'll continue to do that. We'll go forward, and certainly that'll be a part of the discussion when we meet with the new pro tem about is that'll be one of them. I think we've got a list of a pretty long list and maybe catch up on some of the things we've been discussing during the off year. But we'll see. We'll kind of see how it goes and listen to the federal government, see what President Trump does. And I know he has certainly been involved in this issue. And he is, I know in one of the debates I'd seen where he was bragging on Alabama and how they had handled it. So we'll continue to stay in contact with our federal delegation and move forward.
Does that just mean that the immunity would stay in place? Would you have to extend it, or what goes on there?
No, it'll stay in place.
Gotcha. Let's move on to something else. And the things that, you know, it's kind of interesting to me, the November election. Now, you and I have talked since then, I think one time, but were you surprised? I mean, were you surprised about how overwhelming the mandate, or I would call it a mandate, but that Trump won by? Does that reflect on anything going on here stateside, sort of the mood of the electorate nationally?
Yeah. No, I think it was a mandate. I agree with you 100%. And I think if you look at the border issues that we were having, you and I have discussed that. I mean, it's affecting our economy, and it comes where Alabama is actually a border state. And we'll be looking at bills about that this year that affects illegals coming into our state. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. You know, the increase of groceries and fuel and everything up, I think, inflation was over 20%. I mean, that hurts the families across the country. Certainly hurts Alabama families. So, you know, I was excited that it was that kind of mandate. And I think we're going to see pretty quick. I think he'll hit the ground running. I think he's already made some positive moves. One of them for the economy. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the tariffs, and I'm interested to see how that goes. To be honest with you, Jeff, we need to be making more products in the United States. You know, most of our medicine is made in China, which that doesn't need to happen. So I just seen this week where he had talked to some business people about coming into to the United States and bringing more jobs. So I really am excited about that. I believe there was a mandate just simply because people felt like we were giving our country away with open border, and inflation affected so many people. I mean, if you look at it just from the time he left office, a young family could no longer afford a house. When you go from interest rates from 2.9% to almost 9%, I mean, it's just not attainable. So I do think those are a lot of reasons for it, and I'm excited to see what the next few months hold.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this, and it's almost obligatory, but it's one that won't go away. The powers that be want to expand Medicaid, but you look at the general fund, and imagine that obligation there. Is this even something that's in the realm of, like, discussing? Is it on your radar at all?
Well, we've had discussion of it because, you know, Alabama is, our health care is not where it needs to be. And we've closed down some 16 hospitals with a possibility of 10 more closing. Now, some of it's through attrition. I do believe that. But the, you know, the problem with that is the expense of it. You know, just to maintain and keep it where it's at this year is, they've given us a just outrageous a number. So the scare, I think, of everybody is, and we've been in those federal programs where they give you money up front. And at the end of the day, you know, you have to start paying for it. And at the end of the day, if that happens in Alabama, I don't know that we can afford it. I mean, we're seeing probably a 25% increase in just maintaining what we've already got, which I think is ridiculous. And I think we've got to look at some different programs to kind of control that. And I know some states have done that. I talked to the pro tem in Florida, and they have what they call a capitation program that caps those dollars. So I think we need to look at that seriously. Certainly we want to try to help, you know, if it's women and children, which is mostly what Alabama covers, we want to do that. But we got to be cautious, you know, and we got to get the participation rate up in Alabama. That's something I think is important that'll help with that. But, I don't think there's a lot of appetite for it just simply because of the cost of it. It's not because members don't want to help people that need help, but I think it's just being able to afford to do it and maintain all the other obligations we have.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you really covet health care or health coverage, health insurance coverage, most likely in most of the state, there's somebody hiring, it would seem, that would offer that. I know there's not everybody's able-bodied, but to me, expanding Medicaid would cover some of these able-bodied people. I mean, is that the case? Like, it's not for a lack of opportunity to go out and figure out how to get on somebody's health insurance plan.
No, that's 100% the case. You know, and that was one thing when it had come up with a public-private partnership on some type of insurance was a little bit intriguing, because a lot of those people that you're talking about, Jeff, has already got that Medicaid. If you expanded Medicaid, you would take over 100,000 people off existing commercial insurance that they already have, and some would say up to 150,000. Or if you went with a public-private partnership, they would keep their insurance, and it would just insure those that didn't have insurance. So I think that was why that conversation was being had. But you're 100% right. If you expanded Medicaid, you would actually take about 100 to 150,000 Alabamians off of commercial insurance rolls. And I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that is being conservative with what we need to do going forward. Is there a way to do it? I do think the conversation needs to be had about how do we ensure people that hits the gap. You know, there are some people that doesn't qualify either way. How does that happen? I mean, I have not seen a solution for that. And I don't know where we'll go forward. I know there'll probably be more conversation about it. I know Blue Cross Blue Shield is touting the public-private partnership. I'm not sure about that. You know, talking to our Medicaid director, she thinks that would hit the wall quicker than what they're saying it will. So there's difference of opinion there. So this is something that I think will be a long, drawn-out thing. I don't see anything happening anytime soon. I think we'll continue to try to keep what we've got right. And have a conversation.
Speaker, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Certainly wish you and your listeners a Merry Christmas. Happy holiday season.
House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Bulldog the Mississippi, and it's ears down flat. Take this cowboy's hat.